In the next module, we discuss the use of immune checkpoint inhibitors in patients with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer and actionable mutations. To begin, we ask the audience what they would recommend for a patient with metastatic non-squamous disease and no targetable mutations and a PD-L1 TPS of 10%. About 50% chose pembrolizumab in combination with carboplatin pemetrexed and asked Dr. Langer if he agreed.
This is a classic 189 patient, certainly less than 50%. You can make an argument for the triplet versus chemo alone, and the majority picked that. I'm intrigued that 17% chose the IMpower 150 regimen, the quadruplet regimen, suggesting perhaps that that approach may be gaining some traction.
Yeah, that is interesting. About a third of the people here would use atezolizumab. Interesting. In any event, so next, Dave, this is the one we've had a lot of debate about. The patient who has a TPS of 50% or over, and a lot of people, obviously you can give single agent checkpoint therapy with pembrolizumab, and that is the most common answer. Dave, agree or disagree?
So yeah, I did an event with you and Corey. I was on the opposite side of things, so I was all about monotherapy, and Corey had just presented 21G. But I've swung to the other side. So I am a big fan of the Corey, Langer, Lena Gandhi regimen, carbo-pem-pem. The response rates are higher than you get with monotherapy with pembrolizumab. High expressing PD-L1 patients do fantastic with this. Is it more than they need? I don't know, but it's a pretty good regimen.
So, Corey, have you switched tunes? Because we asked the faculty to answer this question. And Corey, I see you say pembro. Did you flip?
I actually chose pembro here, only because it's the standard of care.
You know something I don't.
But I would have low threshold to do the triplet, particularly in folks who have aggressive disease, relatively low comorbidities. If this had been an 80-year-old, I suspect Dave might have agreed with me and used pembro alone.
Well, he was trying to agree with you, but you changed before you could...
No, I still tend to use the triplet, but 50%, we will be doing a trial through ECOG and SWOG that's directly going to compare in this population single agent to the triplet.
We can get into it. When KEYNOTE-024 came out, monotherapy, I jumped on that bandwagon and treated as many patients as I could. And then I had two patients with 100% PD-L1 expression who went downhill quickly, and I couldn't rescue them with chemotherapy.
Wow.
And that changed the way I practiced. And when Corey's data I was skeptical on, just because he's the first one to tell you phase two data, you need to be skeptical. And then 189 happened at this meeting. And that convinced me that that's a good regimen for my high expressing patients. And I'm throwing everything I have at them, and carbo-pem's a pretty good regimen. I know how to manage that, so that's what I do.
So here, Nier is the other classic, i.e., we've been asking it the last 2 years, question, which is the patient who's symptomatic but has a high TPS, and we bumped it all the way up to 90%. The audience looks pretty split about how to approach it, whether chemotherapy. Nier, what do you say?
I mean, I try to give single agent PD-1 as much as I can. If they have, you know, something symptomatic, I might, you know, try to radiate it and give them pembro at the same time. My preference for PD-L1 positives is almost always to give them single agent PD-1. And I think that I'm concerned about how much deleterious effects the chemotherapy has on memory T cells and durability of response. And if you look at the responders to chemo pembro versus the responders to pembro, to me, the durability, I mean, it's only emerging data now, but probably, you know, single agent PD-1 is more durable in nature if you respond. So I think this may be the case where you're getting 1+1 with chemo plus pembro, but then, you know, what are you getting minus-wise in terms of that long-term durable, you know, remission you're trying to achieve?
I just had a general medical oncology sort of thought about levels of ER in breast cancer. And where it seems like if you're positive, you're positive. Is that the way you look at it, or is 90% different to you than 50?
There is some retrospective data that the higher, the 90, 100% have a higher response rate than if you're 50 to 60%.